Give Me a Beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, episode 35. It's basketball time! No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 35. Recorded on October 25, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net and syndicated by the Happy Hour Network, I am your sexy party host, Ray Ray. If you guys don't know what this podcast is all about, I am an NBA online writer, so you're usually going to get a lot of NBA talk, but I also dabble in other sports, video games, TV shows, anime, etc., and I talk to my friends who are mostly sports or Twitter personalities. We all keep it fundamental. There are a couple of regular segments on this podcast. On one, I wax nostalgic with EJ Christian from the Earnestly Speaking podcast as we can get old school and talk things from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. And I also talk to my group of friends called the Gal Pal Squad as we have some girl talk. We talk about interesting things like fashion, dating, etc. as I get a female perspective from them. But this time around, we're having a two-part series as we preview the upcoming NBA season, which starts on Tuesday. In this first part, we go over the Eastern Conference. If you don't like the East, you can always go to the next episode where we talk Western Conference and rookies. Adam Jacoby and I talk to Robbie Callen of CBS Sports, where he covers college football and golf, but he did write about the Atlanta Hawks for years and was also a part of the social media team for them. First, though, we're going to get old school with EJ Christian. Then, we'll talk about the Eastern Conference with Robbie. So, let's get into it. Scratch! Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ.
Kicking it old school with Ray Ray and EJ. Ray Ray here, and as always, EJ Christian joins me. Well, how's it going?
Nothing much, brother. Another day, another podcast.
Yes, sir.
And we're getting kind of consistent with this thing now. We're actually starting to really not miss these shows now. You know, it's good. I like that fact that we finally got something here, a little groove going with this segment. I like it a lot. It's really good fun here.
A little bit, because you texted me earlier off the record, and it's like I wasn't prepared too much because, you know, we're getting into NBA season, which starts in about a couple days. So I was busy writing about it. You texted me. It's like, okay, what are we going to talk about today? I'm like, oh, shoot, we need to do a podcast tonight. So looking through my things here, and I decided, you know what? I like the Chappelle Show, and yeah. I think we could talk about it a little bit, and mm-hmm. I know it's really funny. Unfortunately, a bit of that experience for me was kind of spoiled because, you know, we all know the Rick James episode, and we all know the Little John episodes and stuff like that. And
yeah.
watching them, they're really hilarious. Like, I laughed my ass off. Yeah, I laughed my ass off. The problem that I had with this, though, is that when people make those jokes, kind of taking it out of context, and it's like, okay, how is that funny now? Mm. And the problem is, you heard it everywhere. It was like the 2004 version of Kanye West interrupting Taylor Swift. You know? They would say it all the time. And I'm like, yeah. Dude, get your own joke. It's not funny anymore. You think it's funny because everyone else is saying it, right? It's like, come on.
Right.
You know, be OG. And I'm sorry, I meant this was a tribute to Chappelle Show, but I kind of went off on a rant where it's like, well, they kind of killed it for me. But really, Chappelle's show is hilarious.
This kind of sounds like a larger problem that I think I may need to sit here and investigate a little bit, because apparently you seem kind of bothered by the Chappelle Show, not so much the show, but more so the folks and people who like the show and take jokes out of its element and make things bigger than they really should be. I get that.
Yeah.
Trust me. There's an old saying. Once white folks get a hold of a joke, party's over. And you know I ain't racist, man. I got a white wife, so I can say that. But there's an old saying over in the black community. Once an urban joke or urban thing gets more mainstream and white folks get a hold of it, okay, that's when you know, okay, it's getting old.
Yeah, we got to stop. We got to stop right there. You know,
yeah.
But seriously, Chappelle's show, to confess this a little bit, I didn't watch it until like late, like probably late first season, early second season, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the one that stuck to me the most at the time was when the whole slow motion segment where everything looks better in slow motion. And I was like, oh man, I got to watch these episodes now. This is really hilarious. And then it kind of took off from there. Again, the aforementioned Rick James, later on Little John, and Wayne Brady, which another
underrated
in the Chappelle show. Yeah,
underrated.
Very much so. Yeah, and obviously it gave us another side of Wayne Brady that we never thought we'd see. You know, because I don't mean to make another like stereotype here, but he's a very whitewashed black man. You know what to say.
Yeah, he's very safe, they call that. Very safe guy. And that's kind of what people call me, actually, too. They call me the safe black guy. You know, that's why a lot of parents were okay with me dating their daughters who are white. I'm like, Wayne Brady, because like, I'm safe.
I wonder if they would call me a safe Filipino guy. I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
I think
he quantifies as safe Filipino. Yeah, I would say that, yeah.
I'm not sure if we're considered dangerous to begin with. But
well, you know, I'm part Asian, right? You know, I'm like 1/8 Asian, right? You are aware of that, right?
I have no idea. So
yeah,
you're like Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson's an Asian as
my
well.
My great grandmother is full blown Chinese. So
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. we're talking about race here, and the Chappelle show.
Racial draft. I mean, Chappelle show.
Yeah, the racial draft. Exactly. It's like, you know, there was nothing taboo in the Chappelle show. You know, and that's what made it so popular. That's what made it so legendary, really. We'll talk about the legend of the Chappelle show in a bit. But, like, they just touched on everything, and everything just seemed to be funny. Like, they did it correctly, no matter what the subject, you know?
It really seemed that everything that he did with that show, and for the record, I'm not really the biggest Dave Chappelle stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
I love the show, though. And it seemed like everything he touched on that show turned to gold. And it was so original. It's one of those things where like the racial draft and my favorite skit was the Mad Real World, because I'm actually an old school Real World fan. Like I actually owned the first like 9 or 10 seasons of Real World.
Wow.
I like the original. The original cast, the first like 10 years. Don't judge me.
Oh, I'm not.
But knowing what I knew with that show and with the Real World, and then seeing that skit how it played out, you know, with Kyrie, you know, that thing, I mean, that was classic, that was genius. And I think the fact that show only lasted 2 years because he, you know, whatever happened to him after the second season, whatever happened, you know, whether he just got depressed or he just gave up or whatever, you know, makes the show even more legendary. I feel like if that show went on even a little longer, it might have not have been as legendary as it is now. You know, that show is now like over 10 years old. That show's actually 12 years old now, if you think about it. And that show today still speaks to people, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like if that show kept going another more like 3, 4, 5 years, I don't think the show will be as legendary as it is now. So I think Chappelle did the right thing by stopping it the way it did, because those specific episodes, skits actually stand out more never now because of the fact that there's not so many filler material.
Besides, how can you top that? Like, again, you mentioned that everything turned to gold, whatever Chappelle touched in that show. You know what I mean? Like, How can you top that? Like, we all saw the lost episodes. Like, what was supposed to be in the third season? And they just didn't hold up against the second season.
No, of course not. No. And I mean, look, the lost episodes, I own all three discs. Correct? I own season 1, 2, and the lost one. And it was good. It just didn't hold up. For me, the reason I love Chappelle so much, the show, was that a lot of those skits he was doing wasn't your typical, like, current day, he had a couple of like things that are like current day pop culture stuff, but a lot of the stuff he was talking about were like old school, you know, stuff that I can relate to as a kid. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows the Rick James skit, and they think, oh, hi, Rick James is funny.
Yeah.
The reason why Rick James is funny to me more than anything else is because I have a story behind that. Mm-hmm. My mother, she met Rick James before in around mm-hmm. that same time in '85. Mm-hmm. My mom actually went to Eddie Murphy Raw. She was there in person for that show. Mm-hmm. And as you know, Eddie Murphy and Rick James are like really good friends. I mean, they actually, yeah. I mean, Rick James yeah. actually produced it, you know, part of all the time in one of his albums, you know, all that stuff. So they were mm-hmm. really good friends. And my mother, years ago, before I even saw the, we're talking about like maybe 5 years before the Chappelle was even a thing, before the Chappelle show mm-hmm. even existed, my mom used to tell me that Rick James was a but he was a like, mm-hmm. he was a prick, if you yeah. will. So fast forward to, you know, and my mom has actually pictures of Rick James and Eddie Murphy together, actually, you know, in near, you know, Raw or whatever. Anyway, fast forward to, 2004. And mm-hmm. Rick James, you know, thing is a big deal now in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my mom that skit, and she's like, mm-hmm. you know what's funny? As funny comedic as this skit is, a lot of it's accurate for what I experienced with Rick James. So that's why this show to me, and that skit especially, stands out. Not because it's funny, because it is obviously funny, but a lot that he was, the way he acted, the way he was, pompous and whatnot, mm-hmm. that's how he really was before my mother. So that's why that skit to me always stands out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God. I mean, outside all the people playing that joke out, that skit was legitimately funny. Like, Chappelle was over the top. And then, of course, the bonus is that Rick James was actually there. Like, you know, part yeah. of that quote-unquote documentary. And obviously, cocaine is a hell of a drug is a legendary line from that show.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Darkness is.
Yes.
Charlie Murphy.
Yeah. Another regular segment was Charlie Murphy's True Hollywood Stories, which obviously, like, we miss now, but... That was probably like the only time Charlie Murphy actually was relevant.
Right. Ray, you know what's funny though about that show? Sorry to cut you off. But one of the things about that show I really love too is that I know Rick James and the Clayton Bigsby's, skits get a lot of love. But mm-hmm. there's a lot of underrated skits in there too that people don't talk about. Like Black Bush, mm-hmm. that's hysterical.
Yes, Black Bush, yes.
Hysterical.
Yes, I remember that.
Let me think of another one real quick.
I found the gay KKK hilarious.
The one with Mario Cantone from Sex and the City.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
That's funny to me because I actually actually love Sex and the City. So that is funny to me. And seeing him on the show and then seeing him on the Chappelle show, it's like, oh, okay, this is kind of funny, you know.
Yeah.
The
ask
gay dude.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Genius. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm not sure if we'll ever see another sketch show this hilarious. Like, or being talked about, really, because everybody talked about the Chappelle show. Everybody did. You know? And even
there won't
people
be.
Like, yeah. And even people that didn't know that watch, you know, this kind of comedy would actually say those jokes. Much to my chagrin sometimes, but, you know, it's out there. You know what I mean? So
well, we've had many sketch shows since then mm-hmm. on Comedy Central, and they don't hold a candle, the Chappelle show. For example, was this show that came out recently that just ended? Is it Key and Peele?
Uh-huh, yeah.
They're pretty good,
yeah.
But they're not
Chappelle. Yeah, exactly. I mean, Comedy Central would offer them, what, $50 million for an extension, right, to Chappelle? $50 million for 2 years or something like that?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money, man.
and turn it down.
Yeah, and turn it down because, oh, man, like, I don't blame him for being burned out. And basically, like, it's hard to top what he just did. You know what I mean? It's just so hard
to
top.
Well, it's hard to top. I mean, people obviously say, oh, well, what a loser, having a lot of money. But then again, you don't know what he's going through. I mean, and the fact of the matter is, it's his decision to make, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's our loss because we're mad because he took away our feel good. You know what I mean? So we're mad about it, of course. But the reality is, he probably was burned down at that point, man. And you know, honestly, given the fact how that show got so popular so quickly and everything around it, I don't blame him. I don't blame him, to be honest with you.
Final thought, what's your favorite all-time skit? Besides, I guess, Rick James, is it? Or
Rick James is always one of the favorites. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, even though it's popular, it's legit. But the Man of Real World is my favorite one still. Because, like I said, that one, to me, like I said, being a fan of Real World for many years. Now, granted, I don't watch Real World anymore. I mean, that's like the first, like, 12 years. But seeing that skit and then mess up with the Real World and mixing the dynamics of having one black guy. They do have to have only one white guy with many black people. I mean, to me, that was genius. That's actually genius to me, personally. Clayton Bixby, obviously, is very hysterical. Says on a lot of stereotypes.
Let's not forget Prince playing basketball too.
I was just getting there. Prince getting playing basketball. It's all in picky. You know, it's all in picky. Yeah. Computer blue. Yeah.
Come to my house. Let's have some pancakes.
I mean, that the Prince was great, man. I mean, I feel like that skit made Prince kind of gave Prince more credibility again. In you know, for this generation, too, you're still important to the society of all because of Chappelle being big as he was. You know, people took the heart. So
yeah, it gave Prince life again. And
a little
I mean,
bit, yeah,
yeah. And the funny thing is that, like, do you watch New Girl?
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch the season, but I do watch it, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, Prince made an appearance in New Girl.
Yeah, I saw that one. I saw that. It was great.
And he made a pancakes reference on New Girl. It was great.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So, in a way, like, Chappelle made Prince popular by associating him with pancakes. Like, I can't believe it's so, like, legendary to this day, you know?
Oh, of course, I mean.
Not only is Prince known for his music, but now he's also known for pancakes.
And basketball. and basketball while we're in heels.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So
Chappelle's show, legendary to this day, and if he continued on, it may not have been something. But I guess, you know, thank you, Dave Chappelle, for providing us that entertainment. And I guess providing us, you know, all the laughs in those 2 years. So, yeah, there you go. Thanks, EJ.
Yes, thank you.
This is Derek Dockett, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast.
Normally I don't do this, but I'm going to eat y'all off with a little taste of the remix. Y'all ready? Here we go. I pick you up from the club, take you home to make some love. Got a surprise, close your eyes, I'm going to cover you in suds. I'm going to give you some poo-poo, I'm going to give you some pee-pee, I'm going to give you some doo-doo, I'm washing down some wee-wee. This is the remix edition of a song about pissing. I got the pee and leaking, leaking, and there's juice in the kitchen. Yeah, that's how it goes at R. Kelly party. I sip Chris, you drink piss. This on your remix, you heard? No, I'm serious. I really do want to piss on you.
Ray Ray is Fundamental, episode 35. This is Ray Ray, always joined by my good friend Adam Jacoby. What's up?
How you doing, Ray Ray?
Good. Well, a little bit rough, but we'll get to that, like, way later. Our guest, former social media for Atlanta Hawks, and now works for what is it? Jesus Christ, I'm terrible at intros.
CBS.
CBS, doing college football. Robbie Callen, what's up?
What's going on?
I'm all over the place today. So,
sure.
I was telling Robbie off record, Adam, that yeah, well, today is pretty good. The Niners aren't going to lose today. Then I realized that they'd also already on Thursday. So,
so they got it out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. That's what Robbie said too. So my weekend is better now, I guess, in terms of football. So yeah, but we're here because we're going to talk NBA season. We're recording this on a Sunday, and it starts in 2 days, so I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it this year, being the first year that I'm, like, not doing really any NBA coverage. I mean, I'm sure once football season's over, I'll be in the arena for some stuff and doing some writing. But like the first year that I'm not like riding company, I wasn't sure how excited I'd be, but I'm pretty excited. You know, I mean, like you can't help it when you catch some vines on Twitter, and you know, mm-hmm. you see the dunks and you see stuff starting. Like, you know, I'm pretty excited. You know, being in Atlanta, it's nice. Hawks should be good again, and you know, just you know, I'm looking forward to it. Ready to get it going. Nice to have something going on weeknights too.
Yeah, Adam.
I can't stand the NBA, and I hate that the season. It's weird. I don't really get excited for first days mm-hmm. necessarily, especially when there's always a preseason. So my appetite is already whetted. Mm-hmm. But you know, that being said, I'm excited for the games to start counting, and to see what these teams actually plan on doing when they have to. Spend 48 minutes trying to win. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun. And like Robbie said, it'll be great to have things to do on weekdays. That's sort of one of my favorite things about basketball season is that, you know, there's basically always a game on, or, you know, at least once per evening.
Yeah, for basically like the next 7-8 months, basically, we're going to have a game every night. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
I'm excited for that. Let's get right to it. The Eastern Conference, basically everyone is saying it's Cleveland and everybody else. Do you agree with this, Robbie?
Yeah, I think when we get to the playoffs, you know, it's going to be interesting to see, depending on how long guys are out. You know, you still got Kyrie coming back from injury, and you wonder, like, how far behind they're going to fall at the start of the year. You know, if they're, you know, a 500 team 20 games into the year, like, that doesn't spell trouble for them. But, like, you wonder if it's going to be a situation like last year where they win, like, 58 games and somebody, you know, I don't think it'll be the Hawks again, but, you know, the Bulls or somebody just kind of comes out and wins 60 in a weak conference if maybe they end up as the 2 seed again, which again in the East, you know, as long as you're the 1 or 2, you're probably not in any real danger of running into much in the playoffs mm-hmm. until the at least the conference semifinals, probably the conference finals, really. So I mean, like, I agree with it. If they stay healthy, even relatively healthy, I think they'll be in good shape. I think the Hawks take a small step back. You know, people are projecting a big step forward for the Heat, and I like a lot of their pieces, but I don't think they have the outside shooting mm-hmm. on a consistent basis to contend with the top dogs. The Bulls, interested to see how Hoiberg does with them, if he can open up that offense a little more, but I think that defense continues to take a step back like it did last year. Joakim Noah is not the same dude. You still have Rose, who broke his face the first day of training camp. And like he's out here trying to play preseason games with a broken face, which still baffles me. Like, what are you doing? Like, I know you want to get mm-hmm. the guy comfortable, but how about you get him comfortable in the first, like, game of the season? Give him another 4 days mm-hmm. to kind of let that thing heal a little bit. Because you know how easy it is in a basketball game just get your face smacked?
Oh, I know.
Come on. Like, anything in that. Like, it baffles me how the Bulls handle him. I think it's Cleveland is clearly a class above. But we saw last year, I mean, I think the middle of the pack in the East is a little stronger this year. That 2-6 run is a little stronger.
I shouldn't laugh at broken face. Adam.
Yeah, you would hope that the meat, the innards of the East is stronger than last year because it was so top-heavy last mm-hmm. season. And it sort of did Cleveland a disservice in terms of preparing them for the playoffs. You know, not that the injuries helped, but, you know, they when you're in a stronger conference and you face stronger competition night in and night out, it makes your team better. It sort of forges you in the fires of competition. and we saw that a lot more in the West than we did in the East, and it played out pretty evidently in the playoffs. So, yeah, I think it's going to be better for the East that we're going to have stronger teams. And I agree, they are. You could see a situation where, you know, a 5 seed, a 6 seed makes a legit playoff run this year. I'm still high on the Wizards. You know, they've always been sort of mercurial once the playoffs start, but John Wall's really coming into his own, and he is, I think Matt Morris said, a 30-1 odds for MVP, which seems laughable. Like, he should be about a 5-1, maybe 6 or 8-1. So, you know, and they've looked great on offense during the preseason. Yes, it's only preseason, but, you know, they're really starting to show that they've got a cohesive unit going there. So if there's going to be a team that comes out of there, you know, sort of quasi out of nowhere, I think it's going to be the Wizards.
Mm-hmm. The two teams that came out of nowhere were the Celtics and the Bucks. What do you think of those two?
I think the Bucks are still all hype. They're still not there. I mean, I think the defense is going to take a step back with Monroe in there now. You know, I don't think he's as bad as everybody says he is on defense. I think part of that was playing alongside Andre Drummond isn't going to help anybody that already struggles with movement. Because you're not getting a lot of help from the other side. You don't have a long – like, he needs somebody who's got some length and can be a help side defender, which he might have in Henson and such. But I think that defense takes a little step back, and I just can't see them getting consistent offense. I don't like MCW. I know he looked better in Milwaukee, and I think, you know, Jason Kidd does a really good job with point guards, but I think there are serious limitations on what – Carter Williams can do. I still don't think Giannis is a consistent basketball player. He's still he's a ball of energy and athleticism and not a lot of and skill, but not skill that's refined to the point where he can put it to use consistently and not make errors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the sort of guy where, like, when it's crunch time, can you say, let's get Giannis to do this. Like let's what's his go-to? What can you actually depend on him when you need a basket? And I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's close either.
No. I mean, your best player is Chris Middleton. That's what happened. I mean, look, Chris Middleton's a fine basketball player. But that's how you end up as trust me, as a Hawks fan, I know how you end up as a 7th seed every year. Chris Middleton and Greg Monroe is just screams.
Yeah, they shouldn't be the best players on a championship team, basically.
No, they shouldn't be the best players on a team that makes it to the second round of the playoffs. Like, they're just not. Like, and it's a good start as long as you build off of it. And with the cap exploding, maybe you can. And I mean, part of it's in Milwaukee. You pay the Milwaukee tax of being a place where not a lot of guys want to be. So you kind of get guys who are willing to be there. You know. And I think the wild card in all of this is what Jabari Parker is coming off the injury. Who, like, we always kind of assume guys are just going to come back from those things. But I mean, we've seen a lot of guys that haven't, and you know, hopefully he can, because he's a really fun player. It always sucks when you only get to see, you know, 15 games of a guy, his rookie year. And so this is really his rookie year. So you're not going to get. I think he's still going to have his issues. He can score. I think it's him and Middleton and Monroe are your three best offensive players. And you know, I have questions about them this year as a team. I think this is another one of those. Let's get to next year and look at the Bucks as a serious team that could challenge somebody even if they make the playoffs. And then the Celtics, who knows? Like, they have a lot. They're another team that has a lot of pieces. Like, you look at some of their pieces, and like, they have a lot of players that would be the third or fourth best player on a good team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they don't have a single player that would be the best player on a decent team.
Yeah,
they don't have
like
one.
The one.
Marcus Smart might be your best player.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Not great.
Maybe.
That's not great. He's a very solid basketball player. Two-way guy. I like Marcus Smart. Kelly Olynyk, he probably should be the fifth best player on your team.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see it with them. I know Brad Stevens is great. Love Brad Stevens.
Yeah.
But a good coach with mediocre talent can only do so much.
Yeah.
So
they're
young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Them and the Bucks, both of them. I think they have good young coaches. I think they have good young talent. I don't think they have any top level talent on either team. And I think it's going to take, I think this is another year where you're looking at a, maybe a six seed at the high is the ceiling for both of those teams. I see people projecting 50 something wins for the Celtics. Like,
that's ridiculous to me. It really is
absurd. Like, I know they looked good at the end of the year last year, but do you know how many teams shut it down the last 30 games in the East? The Hawks, the Hawks shut it down. The Cavs shut it down. Half of the West was like, let's just – half of the West, if you knew you were in the playoffs, you were like, let's just please God get to the playoffs healthy because we need all we have. Like, because you knew it was going to be a war once you got to the playoffs. Everybody's shutting it down, and you're picking off teams in the East that are tempoed down, and you're picking off bad teams in the East, and it's just like, okay, like, that's great. I'm glad y'all looked good, but I don't think it was a sustainable run for a whole season. I think they're a 500 team. Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they, 42 wins would be solid. 42 and 40 for the Celtics this year should be solid, but there are people who are saying, like, 53, and I'm like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, you know, if those projections don't happen and the Celtics go, let's say, let's even be generous. Let's say they go 45 and 37. If they do that and they're, let's say, a seven seed or so, I mean, in a vacuum, you're like, hey, that was a pretty decent season. Hey, that was pretty nice, especially for a team that doesn't have, you know, top-level talent. I mean, you look at their roster, their top two guys on salary are David Lee and Amir Johnson. And that's not even a joke. That's the actual situation there. And so if nobody puts it in your head before the season that this is the sort of team that's going to win 50-plus games, because it's not, then you should just, you know, be able to look back after a you know, plus 500 season and be like, yeah, hey, they got a little something going here. I don't know what the next step is to getting them from here, you know, like you said, a whole lot of guys that'd be the fourth or fifth best option on teams.
Mm-hmm. And so here's a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's a question I have. When was the last time the Celtics signed a free agent?
Outside of Amir Johnson?
like a
real free agent, like a real, like a star,
good,
right?
Free agent, because KG was traded, right?
Yes. So was Ray Allen.
Like, they in Sheed? This day and age, Sheed maybe, but Sheed was on the back end, right?
Yeah, I mean, so.
I think in the, you know, and maybe this is the positive of having all those pieces and swindling the Nets out of draft picks. It's really funny. The Celtics, I think it's the Celtics have their pick this year, and the Celtics could get the number one overall pick this year. That's how bad the Nets are. And, like, it's not a protected pick. It's just a dead swap. Like, they just – it's theirs. And so I don't know. My thing is maybe they just expect that Danny Ainge is going to make some more trades, you know? They, like, call him Trader Danny. But, like, I can't remember the last free agent that was like, yeah, I want to go to Boston. Like, they're not a destination. They're not the Lakers. They have tradition like the Lakers, but – they don't have a city like L.A. They don't have the appeal of L.A. Boston fans are – I mean, if you're good, it's a pretty cool place to play, but they'll jump on you pretty quick. It's not Philly, but they'll jump on you.
Yeah, it doesn't seem fun.
No, and, like, I mean, just generally, like, I don't know. Because it doesn't have the shine in New York. Which New York can't. I always find it funny when Knicks are like, "Oh, we'll land somebody." The last guy to sign in New York, like big free agent, Stoudemire.
Yeah, Amari.
And like,
ooh, yeah,
right. And like Melo would have if they hadn't traded. Like, I still so funny. Like, they just could have ignored it, and Melo was gonna sign there. But they got him in like 6 months earlier and just dumped the whole team. But whatever.
Yep.
Good job, guys. But like. Nobody looks at the Knicks and is like, oh, I want to play for the prestigious Knicks, unless you grew up in New York. Because, unless you grew up in New York, you remember the Knicks as what they are. Like, in New York, there's, like, this, like, aura, and, like, you're taught as a kid the Knickerbockers, and, like, you know about Willis Reed, and you know, like, if you're a kid these days, if you're a 20-year-old kid, you might remember Patrick Ewing, maybe.
God.
Yeah, the last time they won a title was 42 years ago. Like,
right, and they were like they, and the last time they went to the finals was 99.
Yeah.
Which and even nobody, then, nobody like remembers
fluke,
that.
I think flukish too. Yeah.
Which nobody flukish. Remembers that season because it was an 8 seed in the lockout.
And it was a lockout year. Season. Yeah.
And right. Nobody remembers the year at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so.
There are guys in the NBA who were 5 years old when that happened.
There are guys in the NBA. They're rookies this year. If you were 18 when you were drafted this year, you were what, 3?
2 or 3, yeah.
Basically.
Oh, God, we're so old, aren't we?
Oh, don't remind me.
Wait, Robbie, you're not old. You don't get to laugh.
I'm not that old, but, like, I remember 99. Damn. Yeah, I mean, like, it's funny, like, you ask what the next step is for Boston, and it's the same question you have to wonder if you're Milwaukee. Like, you're hoping, I think if you're Milwaukee especially, you're just hoping that you land that dude in the draft.
Yeah.
You have to get Anthony Davis out of the draft. You have to do it in New Orleans.
I think what Boston is doing is what Houston was essentially doing, is like stockpiling assets.
To make a trade.
To make a huge trade.
Yep.
And it worked for Houston. They got James Harden out of it.
Right. And it's hard to find it, but it's hard to find that superstar to trade for that's in a situation where the team's willing to completely punt on. Like, you look at guys this year, there's nobody upcoming in free agency. Like, next year's free agency is going to be dope. Like, there's some big names out there, but, like, the Hawks aren't dealing Al Horford.
Yeah.
And a lot of people think he's, like, the most gettable guy, but, like, I know this organization. No, that's not happening. They know how valuable Al is. They're going to do everything they can to sign him this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Neither of the OKC guys, you know, KD's up this year, Russ up next year, they're not going to trade them.
Yeah.
They can't afford any more bad PR. You know, they gotta go down with the ship. Like, if KD decides to leave, KD leaves. I actually like what Zach Lowe said about KD taking a 1 year deal.
Yeah,
and
that sounds
back,
like
and then that is a nightmare if you're OKC though. Like, you have to take it. You have to take it. But can you imagine if you're OKC? Let's say this year they get knocked out in the conference finals. Very plausible.
Yeah.
And you go into next year knowing you only have Ibaka, Russ, and KD on one more year of a deal. You know you got to win.
Yeah,
Your window is literally a year.
We'll be right back with more Robbie Callen and Eastern Conference Talk after this break.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Now, here's a little story I got to tell about three bad brothers you know so well. It started way back in history with that Rob and me.
My team.
Been had a little horsey named Paul Revere. Just me and my horsey and a quart of beer. Riding across the land, kicking up sand. Sharing slices on my tail because I'm in demand. One lonely B-C-I-P. All by myself without no bots. The sun is beating down on my baseball hat. The air is getting hot. The beer is getting flat. Looking for a girl. I ran into a guy. His name is MCA. I said, howdy. He said, hi.
That would be miserable pressure if you're Presti and Billy Donovan. Who I keep forgetting Billy Donovan's coaching the Thunder. I don't think I'll realize it till midseason.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I don't think there's going to be a time where, like, when somebody goes, OKC coach, and I go, Billy Donovan, until, like, February at the earliest. Like, I'm still like, they're like, OKC coach. I'm like, Scotty Brooks.
Yeah, the guy who looks like a miserable show host.
Yeah, he's been a mainstay for OKC for, like, what, 7-8 years, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the thing is, it's not like they hired a guy that, like, is somebody that is constantly, you know, I'm not a huge college hoops guy, so, but, like, I just don't think of Billy Donovan in the NBA.
Yeah.
They haven't been talking about him either. It's not like he's making headlines or doing anything. Like, he's keeping a pretty low profile.
Yeah.
And they hired him a while back, too. Like, they hired him pretty early.
Yeah.
Like, he just kind of, like, was like, all right, we got Billy Donovan. And then I was like, okay. And then all the other NBA stuff happened. And, like Adam said, like, nobody talks about it.
Yeah.
Which is funny. You would think a coach taking over a team that well would get at least some, like, somebody would be doing, like, a national story on him.
Yeah, there'd be, like, quotes about KD everywhere or something like that. It's like, yeah, Billy Donovan's working with KD on his, like, post game or whatever, or, you know, something like that, you know, but nothing like that.
Or, like, at least just, like, you would think somebody would have gone down and done, like, a reaction piece in training camp asking guys what they thought of the first training camp with Billy.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Which
it's a pretty important organization
in terms of the
relevance to, yeah.
Well, and you have KD. Everybody wants to know what KD's thinking about leaving next year, and you would think people would be like, he's got a new coach. Let's see what he thinks about the new coach.
Yeah.
I mean, KD's not going to say anything, but you can at least ask.
Right. Yeah. You ask anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We all know these guys aren't going to say anything, but we ask. That's our job.
That's the job, exactly. Back to the East. You mentioned young teams like Milwaukee and Boston.
Yep.
An extremely young team is Orlando.
Oh, my God.
That's a really, really young team. And they have old-school Scott Skiles as a coach.
It's going to be a disaster. It's a disaster waiting to happen. Like, they're going to be a much better defensive team.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to play a lot harder on defense. Scott Skiles is going to turn every shade of red off the sideline every game.
Uh-huh.
Oh, they're going to drive him nuts.
Oh, I'm – and we're going to get – I know, Ray, we're going to get to rookies later, but I just –
Yeah.
The Mario Hezonja experience. There's not one NBA thing I'm looking forward to more. We'll get there later.
We'll get there later.
But the Magic they're like, I don't even know what to make of them. Like, they're in a tough division. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you got Atlanta and Washington, who we talked about. You got Miami, who everybody expects to take a step forward with healthy Bosch and Dragic and you got Charlotte, who you never know what they're going to be, and losing MKG sucks. Like, I love that kid. One of my favorite guys in the league, just to talk to, super nice guy, plays hard, defender, got better offensively, widely regarded as one of the hardest working dudes, and so for him to go down really sucks, but they're still interesting. You know, Al Jefferson's still one of the best post players. You wonder if Nick Batum can kind of revive his career after he was. You remember, we were talking contract with that guy 2 years ago. We were talking this guy's going to get a max.
Mm-hmm. I watched him a lot when I lived in Portland last year. Oh, my God. Sometimes he seems disinterested.
Oh, you know? Absolutely. Well, yeah. He's French.
Whoa.
The laissez-faire offense.
Mm-hmm.
Let it be.
But... Yeah, I think Orlando will improve. It's just that, you know, Scott Skiles, yeah, he's only going to be there for 2-3 years.
Oh, he's on.
We all know this. That's his
Collins plan.
Yes,
he's young Doug Collins. He's a 3 year and out.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he'll improve the team. Probably get them to the playoffs. But really, he's a transitional coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he is.
I think we're not.
Everybody will get tired of him.
We're not really talking enough about the fact that Devin Marble is a future MVP. Down there in Orlando. And is it – am I only bringing him up because he played at Iowa? No. It's a fine coincidence, and I'm proud of him. But I think objectively he's going to be a 30-35-point-a-game sort of player for them. And no one's really talking about it.
Yeah.
Well.
Because – well.
Well.
Right?
That's right, one man's opinion.
I guess so.
One very unbiased man's opinion about Iowa product Devin Marble.
Very much so.
How dare you?
Oh, man.
I mean,
so
Tobias Harris could be interesting under Skiles. Like, can he get him to play a little defense? They just threw a bunch of money at him, which I don't even know what contracts are now. Like, everybody's like, oh, it's fine. I'm like, I
right.
feel like it's
There's
a lot
no
of money.
No such thing as a bad contract anymore.
And I'm like, you know what? Like, that's what the players want you to think. Like, if I'm like a mid-tier player, like, and an agent who has a lot of, like, mid-level guys, of course I'm going to be like, oh, there's not a bad contract in the league. It's like, dude, like, there are bad contracts. Like, we'll figure them out in 2 years, trust me.
Yeah.
People will be like, oh, right. It's like nothing. It's like
right.
only giving them $11 million this year when you're giving $15 million. It's like... Yeah, $11 million still. That can tie right. up some cap space. If you're paying your like seventh best, if you end up paying your like sixth best player $11 million, like even that, like that's a problem. Even with the jump, that's going to be a problem at some point.
Yeah.
Ah.
Anywho.
Yeah. Tobias Harris is earning 4 years, $64 million, by the way.
Hmm.
And
get that money.
Yep, get that money.
I'm all about the guys getting that money.
Yeah, me too. Get it while you can. In the bottom of the East, what I have are Brooklyn, Detroit, New York, Philadelphia.
I think New York's going to be fun. I don't care. They're 32-win team, but they're fun 32-win team.
Because
there's – I love Zinger. Again, we'll get to rookies. We'll get to rookies.
Yes.
I mean, Melo in the East is like you put a borderline competent crew around him, which is literally what the Knicks have, is borderline competent.
Mm-hmm.
And you win 30 games in the East. Like, Melo still will score.
Yeah.
It's going to be so much fun. We get to hear so much crap about the triangle. which, inevitably, when they are 10 and 35, people are going to be like, what the hell's going on? Abandon the triangle. And then we get, like, Phil, like, waxing poetic about it and how patience and preaching his zen. And, like, Porzingis is going to do some wild that, like,
yeah,
who even knows? Like, he's, like, it's like Hazonia than him. And, like, there are some, they're, like, better rookies out there. But, mm-hmm. like, I only care about those two. There are better rookies, but, like, those two are the only ones Robbie cares about. Like, I don't even – the Knicks are going to be weird. They're playing, like, Derek Williams, like, actual minutes.
Yeah.
Just always good for some hilarity. Five of the worst defensive plays you'll ever see each game. And then kind of makes up for it with two really awesome dunks.
I'm kind of sad because Derek Williams is a La Mirada product, which is about 10 minutes away from me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm kind of sad that local boy is not doing well in the NBA.
Second overall pick. I'll never forget that.
I know.
What a legend. Got that money. And still in the league. They gave him $5 million a year. That's a bad contract. Tell me there are no bad contracts. You gave Derek Williams $10 million. Give me $10 million.
You can ball.
I will play the exact same level of defense. I will not do the dunks. But
his jumper's wetter than his.
Sweet. I'll get out there and I can stand there on defense and not do much.
Right.
Me too. Come on, spread it around. You could get like, do you know how many like bad basketball players you could get for $10 million? Mm-hmm. And you just went for one? Aim higher, Knicks. Look at the Sixers. They had like 20 guys on the roster on Monday on cut day, and they were just like, "Nah, we're not cutting anybody yet." They wait until like the deadline moment to cut five dudes. Like, everybody else is at like 16 and like making one final spot. The Sixers are like drawing names out of a hat. Like, who are we gonna cut?
Who's like the only long-term player in Philly anyway?
Nerlens.
Like Nerlens, that's probably it.
Because God knows Embiid might not ever play.
Yeah.
He's long-term injured.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's got some nice suits. Like, he's got to have some really good suits at this point. Like, he's got, like, that velvet number, that little velvet blazer he's got. He likes that one a lot. He wears that one a bunch.
Wasn't Kendall Marshall signed to a 4-year deal? But it's not guaranteed anyway, huh?
Yeah, it's like a 4-year deal that's guaranteed for, like, half of a season. Which is really fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty much like Nerlens, who I'm still mad at New Orleans for trading.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that would have been...
That would have been amazing.
Him and Anthony Davis would have just created the Terror Dome.
Oh, my goodness.
In the paint. Like, can you imagine trying to score inside 5 feet?
Impossible.
I thought you were just mad at them for trading a guy whose name was their city.
That is also the New Orleans Nerlens potential. No, I'm fair.
Yes, he and Davis together would have been just lights out, changed the
terrorizing.
League. Yeah,
yeah.
Drew's fine. Like I understand, but you can get a point guard somewhere. There are
there's like a surplus of point guards in the NBA.
There's 1,000 point guards in the NBA.
Yeah,
you had Nerlens. God, just the wingspan.
Yeah.
Jay Billis would have moved to damn New Orleans. Just to sit there and watch.
Yes.
And the flat top. Like, there's a lot to like there. You could have had a flat top and the brow. You could have done some cool, like, cross-promoting with that. Like, have Anthony show up in a flat top and Nerlens show up in, like, a unibrow one day.
Ah, would have been awesome.
Like, you're just punning money is what you did, New Orleans.
Now I'm upset because that was, like, the only time I thought about this was, like, draft day when they traded him. And then I didn't think about it since. Now I'm just upset.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to upset
you. It's okay.
Like the Sixers, the Sixers are whatever. I don't even know. It's not even worth talking about because
we'll have like 27 starting lineups for the Sixers during the season anyway. It's like, yeah, he started for the Sixers and he's cut the next day.
Right.
They cut so many guys. Like, and that's the thing is like talking about the Sixers is impossible because there's no one that's like in the middle ground on the Sixers. And there's no one that you're changing their mind about them. Like, you either are a full-on Hinky believer, and you think he's the best thing to ever happen to the NBA, and you think what he's doing is the right way, which is fine, or you're just like, this isn't going to work, and it's going to go down in flames.
I'm definitely on the latter. Adam knows about that.
Yes. And, like, it's just, it's really funny to me just because, like, I get that he's like, I get the method, you know, like I understand what the goal is and I know the method to it is like stockpile talent, get a lot of draft picks, this sort of thing, yada, yada, yada. But the problem is his execution of it has been strange. He burns so many bridges that it's going to be really tough to get it back. Like when you cut that many guys so unceremoniously, like when you cut a guy, you're not just cutting a guy. That guy's got an agent who has a lot more clients. And when you kind of screw over a trade partner or something, or you know, he's probably got just a few guys like McDonough's in with him. Hammond, obviously Morey, because that's where he comes from. But you got to think, like, there's some guys that don't want to deal with him. Like, yeah. I've heard that. Talking to people, it's like they're just like they don't want to deal with Hinky because, one, they think he's trying to outsmart them and they don't like that. You know, GMs don't like to think they're being outsmarted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, like, he's also just, like, he just tends to be kind of smug in how he deals with things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a business, but there are people involved, and when you anger people, you don't just anger one in a league like this. So I that's my biggest issue with it.
It's also a doomsday when you get cut by the Sixers because you get cut by the worst team in the league.
Oh, you're
it's
done.
Like, okay, where do you go next? You know, overseas, that's it, you're done. So, so who do you got winning the East? I still think it's Cleveland.
Yeah, if they're healthy, it's Cleveland. I mean, I ain't betting against LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
Do it at your own peril. I think LeBron probably plays 70 games this year.
He'll probably, like, take the 2 weeks off, like, next week.
He'll take,
you know,
he's got the,
if not today, if not in Tuesday.
Yeah,
so.
He's got the back thing. I think he plays opening night because I think he thinks it's important to play opening night. And if there's anybody who can just kind of mind over matter it, it's going to be LeBron. He's been doing it for years. He's been banged up before. He's got the back thing. I think he pedals off a little early, takes his time, knowing that he doesn't have Kyrie with him, knowing that this is a, you know, we don't want to put it all on my back right now, especially since that back is hurt. He'll pedal off middle of the year for a week, maybe take it off like he did last year. He took the 2 weeks in the middle of the year. I don't think he'll take 2 weeks again. But and then, you know, end of the year coasting once they're locked into the two seed.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, they can rattle off 18 straight wins.
No problem.
In, like, February. Like, it's just going to like they did last year. They're just going to, like, just run through everybody.
Yeah, I got them on the two seed as well, but that doesn't even matter because as long as they're in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah.
As long as they're a high seed, they're going to win.
Yeah.
So I think that – who do you think – Adam, you said you think Washington's interesting as far as a team that contends. Who do you think gives the Cavs the toughest, like, push? I'm interested to hear what y'all think.
I really think it's going to end up being Washington. They've got the just elite guard play. I think their roster is as strong as it's ever been. And, you know, like you said, LeBron's going to get some time off. He was already at a season low for minutes per game last year. He was at 36, and his career, he's almost at 40. So, and I think it's going to be even lower this season. I would be surprised if they get more than 35 minutes per game in the regular season out of him. Now, you know, come playoff time, he's going to have to be a monster again. But I think that the Cavs have learned a little bit from the Warriors in terms of pacing their high-level players, the ones that they desperately need to have healthy come playoff time. So it wouldn't surprise me to see Kevin Love get a little bit of vacation time. You know, Irving's going to be out for some X amount of time, but, you know, they're going to have to ease him back in, too. Mm-hmm. So it would surprise me if the Cavs are the one seed, just because they're not going to be maximizing their high-level talent, which is good, and you shouldn't. But then what's behind those big three, as we saw in the playoffs, is a whole lot of butt.
Mm-hmm.
And Shumpert's out now too, right? Didn't he?
Yeah, Shumpert's out.
Yeah. So they're going to struggle a little bit. I don't think they're the one seed. I think the Wizards take that big next step, just because, and especially because there's so many question marks around so many other teams in the East. Now, that doesn't mean that they're necessarily deficiencies. You know, maybe Hoiberg does get that whole thing turned around. Maybe he finds a perfect role for Rose. Maybe all of Miami's pieces work together. Maybe Dwayne Wade is still, you know, mashing come March. You know, maybe. But I think that Washington is the smallest of the question marks in terms of just what they've got on the court right now.
Mm-hmm. I got the Cavs and the Heat in the East Finals, so I'm pretty high on the Heat right now. And, you know, the talent is just there. They have a deep roster now, but Robbie is right about the outside shooting. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, and that's something that they're going to have to contend with. But Memphis got to the Conference Finals without outside shooting.
Sure.
So who knows?
Yeah. I'm sticking with the Hawks. Like, I know they lost Damari Carroll.
That's big, yeah.
Which is big, but at the same time, if there's any guy on the team that had a role that I think could be filled by a committee, mm-hmm. it's what Damari did.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea what Justin Holiday is as a player. I think he's pretty good. And I think he can be a player for them. I don't know how much you can play him. Bays, same way. Like, Thabo getting back early is helpful. It's really good to see him back. Korver's back. I think a lot of the concern I heard this year was like, oh, will Korver be fine? I'm like, the dude had an ankle injury. Like, he still moves well. I was watching him this preseason, he still moves well. Shot ain't broke. Like,
yeah,
and I think Splitter's a bigger pickup than a lot of people give it credit for.
He's a Spurs guy, like Coach Wade. He's a Spurs guy.
Oh, he's Spurs guy, so he knows what Bud wants to do. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, he's not a shooter. Bud likes shooters everywhere. Like, Pop wasn't quite that crazy about the shooters as Bud. Mm-hmm. But I think he finds a role, one, because I think he's a great dive man on pick and roll, and I think Jeff will like that. You know, I think the one thing that they lack in the pick and roll game is a hard roller to the rim. Al likes to pop. Paul likes to pop. Mm-hmm. I think Tiago is the one who's going to just be a consistent diver, and I think that actually helps a little bit. Plus, I mean, he's such a big upgrade over Perro as the third
how
big.
How dare you? How dare you?
You know, look, anybody that knows me knows I love Perro. That was my boy. But he was not a good basketball player the last year. He was really good for a little bit, but I mean, he was also 35 and played a lot of basketball overseas. So perspective just from what he does. Like, Perro was cool because he could, like, shoot threes, but he didn't do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, oh, cool, Perro can shoot threes. And it's like, oh, he shot 30%. Maybe he shouldn't shoot threes.
Yeah.
So, like, I still think the Hawks healthy are probably the second best team in the East.
Mm-hmm.
just because they still can shoot it, and I love what they do, and I think they slightly edge out the Bulls for me. I'm not a believer in the Heat yet. I gotta see it, just because they just can't shoot. Like I look down that roster, and it's like Wade's not a shooter. Bosh probably your best shooter, which that's cool because he's great, but Dragic is fun. I like Dragic. I think they have a really good squad. I think the Dragic-Bosh pick and roll is devilish.
Nightmare. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, defense is a question mark for me too. So I'm not quite as in on the Heat. I do like the Wizards, but I think it'll be the Hawks in the conference finals if they're healthy, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. None of us picked the Bulls in the conference finals. Great.
Still not a believer in them.
Nope.
I mean,
I just don't trust them anymore. Yeah, I just don't trust them anymore after years.
Old man.
Here's what I don't get is why Fred Hoiberg would take that job, or why anybody would take that job. Because like Robbie just said, they're old. They're getting old. They're not getting younger, and there's no path to revitalizing that program without or that franchise without just blowing up the roster in about 2 years. So. Yeah. They've already got a ceiling. I think it's fair to say they've got a ceiling on their success right now that is below the finals. Maybe they get to the conference finals, but I doubt it. Things would have to work out in their favor. You know, things such as everybody else getting injured and somehow the Bulls staying healthy, which right. and so the ceiling's there. They're getting old. They've got so much money tied up in guys who you cannot expect to contribute in a meaningful way. Come, let's say 2018, you're gonna have to blow that up. And when that happens, there's almost never a coach that survives, a 15-67 season, even if that's sort of part of the quote plan. As soon as people start getting disgruntled and the fans, stop wanting to show up, usually there's somebody that just gets chopped. But, Hoiberg had basically a contract for life at Iowa State. And I know that everyone was like, oh, yeah, of course you go to the NBA instead of, Podunk Iowa State. But, the man, he was the mayor of Ames. He had earned that name by the time he was like 19 because he was, he's like a legit super good guy, legit super Iowan about it and everything. And so what I don't get is why would you walk away from that for a job where you should probably expect to be fired before your third season is over? Then what? Does Iowa State take you back? Maybe, unless this new coach that they've got, Prohm, if he's still doing great, then why fire him just to bring back the dude who decided the NBA was a bigger deal? So I don't get what this does for his career trajectory and why it's a good move. So that always puzzled me to begin with, and I don't think that he is good enough to take care of all the problems that are going to be coming the Bulls' way over the next couple of years.
The last time the Bulls made the conference finals, 2011, Rose was MVP.
Yeah.
That seems like a long time ago.
It really, really does.
Hey, everyone. I'm Matt Moore from CBSSports.com. Listen to Ray Ray's Fundamental as much as you can, as often as you can, because it's awesome, he's awesome, the NBA is awesome, and you are awesome. Have a great day.
So as you can tell, we're over an hour so far in this podcast. So we decided that we're going to have the Western Conference portion of this show on a second podcast. So if you want to do that now, you can push stop and go to the next episode. I am cool with that. But just in case you're still playing the show, I urge you to follow Adam Jacoby on Twitter at Adam_Jacoby. I also urge you to follow Robbie Callan on Twitter at rcalland, RKALLAND. As for this podcast, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on RayRay.net. And this show is also syndicated by Happy Hour Network. And you can also find the show on Stitcher. Follow the podcast Twitter at RayRay is fun. And you can also follow my personal and basketball Twitter at the No Look Pass. That's all I've got. You know you can check out Ray Ray's Fundamental without a library card. Go to the next show where we're previewing the Western Conference. Thanks, guys.
You like it? You think Cleveland's cool? I mean, I never heard anybody say, I'm going to Cleveland on vacation. I mean, what's so good about Cleveland? Game over, yeah!
Molded.